at 6:20. This is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. Kay Bailey Hutchison, the former U.S. Senator from North Texas, got the official okay today to become Donald Trump's ambassador to NATO. The Senate voted unanimously to confirm Hutchison and 64 other nominees. The vote came the day after Trump signed a package of sanctions against Russia, even though he wrote that several of the provisions were, quote, clearly unconstitutional. Russia was a hot topic at Hutchison's confirmation hearing before the Senate Foreign Relations Committee 2 weeks ago. Here's a question. Can you remember what you had for breakfast this morning? Probably. What about last week or last month? Probably not. Today on Think, Chris Boyd talked with Alcino Silva of the UCLA Brain Research Institute about how our brains decide which experiences to store and which to forget.
Evolution has shaped our brain to answer the challenges that we face. And any time that we are chased by a snarling dog, we better remember it so we can avoid it, because a single bite not long ago, you know, without antibiotics, may mean death. Knowing what triggers our emotions, fear, for example, is the case that we are talking about, is absolutely critical, and we should remember it because, again, our lives may depend upon it. But the opposite is also true. You know, I found this patch of land where the berries are abundant and sweet. A long time ago, when we didn't have our agriculture and we depended on foraging, knowing where those patches of food happened to be literally may have saved our lives. So the joy of finding them justified our brain's focus on it and our ability to store that information. So emotion, essentially, is an amplifier of memory. If we want to remember something, add some emotion to it. If you want others to remember something, add some emotion to it. That's a general rule.
Alcino Silva's article, The Web of Memories, appeared in Scientific American magazine. This episode of Think re-airs tonight at 10, and you can subscribe to the podcast at think.kera.org. North Texas author Will Clark writes pop absurdist yarns about ordinary people trapped in otherworldly weirdness. But it's been 12 years since his last book. So for the latest in our Artist Spotlight series, Art and Seek's Jerome Weeks caught up with Clark just as he's about to release a new book.
Will Clark's third novel is a dark, goofy, cosmic story about a colossal oil disaster and a mysterious palm reader who's disappeared. The novel, The Neon Palm of Madame Melanson, is set in New Orleans, which only makes sense. Clark's from Louisiana. So, how'd he get to Dallas?
In a Ford Festiva.
Dallas was the biggest city his sad little car could drag him to. Clark graduated from LSU in 1991, and he came here looking for work.
But my first job, I got a job at an ad agency as a writer, doing car dealer commercials.
Hi there. Caught you admiring my all-new Chevy Lumina. That's okay. It's been completely redesigned for 95.
Clark had a business degree, and here he was writing scripts. But then Clark had known he wanted to write when he was 7.
You know, that sounds a little corny to say at 7 years old, I knew that. But at a publishing company with friends of mine, and we published these comic books.
Remember the publishing company. It'll come back. So in the 90s, Clark was rising through Dallas advertising ranks, freelancing, and working for agencies like Tracy Locke. On the side, he wrote a novel called The Worthy. It's a dark, goofy, cosmic ghost story about a dead frat boy haunting a fraternity house.
We sent it out to publishers at the time, and it got killed. And then I wrote Lord Vishnu because my agent was like, you have another book, right? I'm like, yeah, and I just wrote that book really in 6 months. And so we went out with that book, and it died.
Remember the publishing company? Well, faced with these frustrations, Clark released that second novel called Lord Vishnu's Love Handles in paperback through his own publishing company, which he called Middle Finger Press.
I think maybe I was bitter, I don't know.
You think? Anyway, Lord Vishnu is a dark, goofy, cosmic spy story about a Dallasite with ESP. But it was sold to Hollywood, and that led Simon & Schuster to publish Lord Vishnu in hardback in 2005. It became a cult favorite. Rolling Stone even declared Clark a hot pop prophet.
Anytime I use that, my wife always makes fun of me, because I'm not very prophetic.
Clark soon had an agent in L.A. He'd hopped on that happy treadmill, developing projects and writing TV treatments.
So I was on that for a while before I realized pitching TV shows that never get made and movies that never get made is not, you know, the way a career is made.
All this time, Clark had continued working in the marketing biz. In fact, nowadays, the 47-year-old is the vice president of marketing at Poo-Pourri. Yes, Poo-Pourri, which is a sponsor of KERA. You may also know the toilet scent product from the company's first YouTube video.
Poo-Pourri. Our business is to make it smell like your business never even happened.
The one with the classy-looking young woman in a restroom using salty language. That video has had 39 million views. Clark didn't write the videos. He's had to make them useful.
My job is converting these viral views into actual online sales.
It just so happens in Clark's new novel, The Neon Palm of Madame Melançon, the desperate narrator is in public relations. He has to come up with a story that'll make an oil company look good after it's unleashed a disaster in the Gulf. Clark can't help pointing out how similar writing a novel is to the entire PR advertising biz. They're both about shaping narratives.
At their very, very core, narratives are the operating system of the brain. And if you can control the narrative, you can control people's brains.
So what mystic marketing art is Clark using to control our brains to get us to buy the Neon Palm? Well, back in May, he released an ebook version online, and he charged $10,000 for it. He did it for the attention.
When you do something ridiculous, it goes farther. I did it mainly just to increase the click rate on Amazon.
Whether readers will buy the Neon Palm will probably depend on whether they enjoy its dark, goofy, cosmic story about an endangered New Orleans. What sets it apart in Clark's work is his real fear for our environment. Clark's idol has always been Kurt Vonnegut, especially for his absurdist humor.
But near the end of his life, Vonnegut was really disgusted by the fact that we were these fossil fuel addicts.
So it shouldn't be a big surprise the author of Slaughterhouse-Five himself appears in the Neon Palm. Or maybe it's a mentally addled homeless guy. Or just the narrator's imagination. What can I say? It's a Will Clark novel. It inhabits multiple dimensions. Jerome Weeks, KERA News.
The Neon Palm is officially released August 12th. Will Clark will appear at the Wild Detectives bookstore August 17th, and you can find more than 50 profiles of other North Texas creatives at artandseek.org or .com/spotlight. Finally tonight, on the heels of the Dallas Museum of Art's blockbuster Mexico show, the Fort Worth Opera is going international for its next world premiere. The official announcement will be made from Mexico City in 3 weeks. As KERA's Bill Zeeble reports, the new opera will focus on the lives of Mexico's iconic artist couple, Frida Kahlo and Diego Rivera.
Composer and Grammy winner Gabriela Lena Franck was artist in residence with the Fort Worth Symphony Orchestra 2 years ago. The Fort Worth Opera and three partners hired her to compose The Last Dream of Frida and Diego. She's already worked on several projects with the librettist. He's Cuban-American, Pulitzer Prize-winning playwright Nilo Cruz. The story opens in 1957 on Dia de los Muertos, the Day of the Dead. Rivera's about to die. Kahlo's been gone 3 years, and from the afterworld, a saint asks if she wants to escort Rivera.
And Frida at first resists this and says, no, no, he caused me pain. I don't want to do that. But the more she talks about it, and the more she remembers, the more she's convinced that she really does want to do it. So, of course, she does.
The Fort Worth Opera's artistic director, Joe Illick, says the passionate, stormy relationship is perfect opera stuff.
The only stipulation is that she not touch him if she wishes to avoid feeling any pain, physical or emotional. Well, of course, she can't resist.
Illick says the libretto's mostly done and expects minor changes. There's not really music yet. What you're hearing is a choral work composed by Franck. The opera will premiere in 2020 and was commissioned when Darren Woods was still the company's director. In a surprise announcement half a year ago, he was dismissed with little explanation. Just last month, his replacement, Tuomas Hiltunen, was named. He's a native of Finland. At the same time, Illick was promoted to artistic director after serving 15 years as music director. Bill Zeeble, KERA News.
Partly cloudy skies this evening. Should be a low around 75. Tomorrow, partly sunny. 20% chance of showers with a high near 93. It's 6:30. This is KERA News.